Today, I want to wrap up a series that I've been in for the last few weeks, and it's called The Mental Game. The Mental Game, how godly thinking leads to godly living. We've covered a few things I want to review a little bit, and then I want to dive into 2 points that I want to make today. First of all, number one was this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, how we think determines how we live. How we think determines how we live. If we are thinking the right way, our thoughts can lead us to peace and life. If we're thinking the wrong way, then our thoughts can lead to discouragement. They can lead to defeat. They can lead to our own destruction. And so here's the point. I have to learn how to think the right way. If I'm thinking the right way, then it's going to lead to right living. Number two is this. The power of godly thinking comes from the power of God's word. The truths that we share, obviously, at church, the truths that you should live your life by aren't just good old boys' terms. They're not just, hey, my daddy taught me this. All those things are great. But our foundation of everything that we think, everything that we do, ought to be found on God's word. Because it's not just the power of positive thinking. It's the power of God's word that changes us. And so, number two, the power of godly thinking comes from the power of God's word. Number three, thinking right comes from talking to myself, not listening to myself. Again, we're all a little schizophrenic. We all have split personalities, right? And if we begin to listen to the lies or listen to the doubt or listen to all the things that sometimes the devil feeds us, guess what? We're going to be defeated. But if we can learn how to talk to ourselves, in other words, speak truth over our lives, declare certain scripture in our lives, guess what? We can overcome those wrong thoughts all day long. I'm telling you, it works. I talk to myself all the time. People think I'm weird. You may see me talking to myself at Walmart or whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever it takes, right? And so the right thinking comes from talking to myself, not listening to myself. Number four was this, and we covered this last week. Mental battles are won when we know our draw and prepare to win. In other words, in the rodeo, you get a draw. They draw this calf out, they draw a bull out, or they draw a bronc out, and that's your opponent. That's the calf or the bronc or the bull that you're going to be competing against, right? Well, in the same way, when that bull comes out, typically they have a pattern that they're gonna buck in, right? Or, you know, they may buck to the right every time. 9 times out of 10, they're going to buck to the right. And that's how they're going to try to buck you off. Guess what? We have an opponent, and his name's the devil. And typically, a lot of times, he has a pattern of attack. He may attack you through a certain person. He may attack you through a certain event. He may attack you, you know, through someone else's word. And his pattern typically is kind of easy enough to follow. And if you can figure out his pattern, then prepare your mind. Guess what? You can win those battles. So you got to know your draw and prepare to win. I created a list that I preach to myself, and I prepare myself almost every day. I get on my knees in my office and I prepare myself. I want truth to be in my mind, not lies, not the doubt, not the destructing thoughts. And so I prepare myself to win because I know the devil and I know where he likes to attack me. And so again, we mental battles are won when we know our draw and prepare to win. All right, so today I want to cover a couple more truths that will hopefully help us find victory in the mental game. Number five, ready? Take this down. The mental game is won when we have the right traveling partners. The mental game is won when we have the right traveling partners. I did a whole series called Traveling Partners. You need to go back and listen to it. It talks about Christ-centered friendships for the ride of life. But here's the thing. When it comes to our thoughts, guess what? If we're going to win the mental game, we have to have the right traveling partners. I mean, some of you guys rodeo, some of you guys have, you know, noticed this, but usually rodeo athletes, they have traveling partners, right? They have people that they travel with, they go, they, you know, share the cost of the hotel, or if they're sleeping in the van, they share the cost of the gas in the van, or whatever it is, or they, you know, take turns driving. I mean, that's what a traveling partner does. But here's what I've learned in talking to rodeo athletes. Here's what I've learned. The most important part or most important aspect of a good traveling partner is their attitude. Think about it. I mean, if a guy's going to win, he's got to be surrounded by guys that want to win. If a guy's going to, you know, not get bucked off and have confidence and be able to ride hard and make a winning run, guess what? He needs people around them that are going to help him make that winning run. He needs people around him that speak into his life and say, you can do this. You can do all things through Christ. You can overcome this. Let's do this. Again, someone that's going to motivate them, that's going to encourage them to make the ride. Well, I heard an interview just this last week. I was watching Craig Cameron. He's a horse trainer. And he was interviewing a man by the name of Ted Noose. Anybody ever heard of Ted Noose? 1985 world champion bull rider. And the whole, and it's just amazing how God does this stuff, but the whole episode was about the mental game and about thinking positive and all that stuff. And Ted Noose, this is what he said in the interview. He said, when I was riding bulls, I avoided negative people like the plague. He said, because I knew that it wouldn't make me better. They wouldn't make me better. They'd actually make me worse. They would actually make me worse. I mean, some of you guys have been around negative people. Maybe you're a negative person. You just, you know, you're around yourself all the time. I don't know, but when you get around negative people, guess what? They will affect you. They will. They're either going to bring you up and help you succeed in life and succeed with Christ and grow in Him, or they're going to tear you down. So here's the point. Just like we need traveling partners in the rodeo, guess what? If we're going to win the spiritual battles we face in our minds, we have to have people around us that think God's way. Amen? And you say, well, okay, Bo, what do these relationships do for us? What do they offer us? Well, I'll give you a few answers to that. They help us win the mental battle by being encouraging. I mean, you if you've been around somebody that's encouraging, I mean, you know how it can lift you up, right? I mean, I've been around a lot of people. I can look around and see people all across this barn that have been encouraging to me and that build me up. And because they do, they speak life into me. I get fired up. I'm ready to roll. Amen? Because you got people that are encouraging. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It says this, but what? Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Again, relationships, if we're going to win the mental battle, we have to have people around us that are going to speak encouragement into us daily. One of my greatest encouragers was my mom. I know I talk about my family a lot, but they're my family, and I got the mic. My mom, she was like, I mean, still is the most encouraging person. She's got Alzheimer's now, so she may tell me it 400 times now because she forgets that she told me. But she's like, Bo, you're the best preacher ever. Bo, when I was in high school, you're the best looking kid in school. You can get that girl. You know what I'm saying? She would just feed me all this stuff and encourage me. I mean, it was just like a life builder for me. And here's what I learned. If you want to know my love language and you say, well, what's that all about? Well, read The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. You'll figure it out. But love languages, what speaks into your life? My love language is words of affirmation. You don't have to buy me dinner, although that'd be nice. Gift card at JV's is cool. You don't have to do anything for me. You don't have to come mow my yard. I can do that. You don't have to do all that stuff. All you got to do is tell me I did a good job. It feeds me. That's what, I mean, that's my spirit, not my spiritual gift, but that's what, you know, my love language. And I think I learned that through my mother. I've got a wonderful wife who encourages me as well. And so again, you get around people that are going to encourage you and you can win a lot of battles. Amen. But here's the other side of it. You surround yourself with negative people and they're going to tear you down. I'm just telling you. So Bible says, hey, encourage one another daily. Here's what else it says, and it goes along with it. Relationships that help us win the mental battle, they build us up, not tear us down. Look at Ephesians 4:29. I memorized this. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for what? Building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Again, are you surrounded by people that are tearing you down all the time? Are you surrounded by people that are going to build you up? Are you a person or are you a friend that is going to build others up or tear people down? Again, are you a good traveling partner? You say, well, we just live in a pansy world where a bunch of kids, they get trophies for not winning. Yeah, I don't like that either. And I'm going to speak truth into my kids' life. I'm going to speak truth into your life. But I'm also going to love you, and I'm going to do it for your benefit. And here's what I've learned. It's not what I say, it's how I say it that matters. Again, I can challenge my kids to be better in a loving way, or I can tear them down with my words. Are you with me? So it's not about, hey, I'm just going to speak goody-goody into my kids and everybody's happy. No, I'm going to challenge them, but if I choose to do it the right way, it's going to build them up, not tear them down. And here's whatever, and this is free. Rules without a relationship equals rebellion. Some of you need to hear that. You just tear your kids down. They never can do nothing good enough. But you never have a relationship with them where you just go and laugh with them. Rules without a relationship equals rebellion. Learn that. I'm trying to, you know, keep that in the forefront of my mind as well as I raise my kids. So build others up, not tear them down. Here's the third thing, that relationships that help us, you know, win the mental game, they offer godly counsel. I mean, if I'm going to have a good traveling partner, I want somebody that's going to tell me the truth of God's word, not just good old advice from happy-go-lucky. Are you with me? I mean, so many people, they go to the wrong people for advice. I mean, should I stay married? You ask the guy that's, you know, divorced 17 times. Come on now. Should I drink, you know, another one? Or you're asking the guy that's, you know, an alcoholic. Come on now. I'm just telling you. You got to have godly people around you that give you godly advice. Look at Proverbs 20:18. It says, plans succeed through good what? Counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. Again, if you're going to win the mental battle, you got to have people around you that are going to share God's truth with you. Proverbs 27:9, it says this, the heartfelt what? Counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense. Again, it's valuable. It's sweet. It's sweet to your ears. It's sweet to your heart. It's sweet to your mind. And so here's what I want you to figure out. Ready? Some of you guys are here today and you're defeated, you're discouraged, you're beat down, you're losing the mental battle because you've chosen to connect yourself with negative, bitter, angry, not God-loving people. I mean, again, some of you guys are older, maybe don't have, you know, friends to worry about because you've established your life, but there's a lot of people who have surrounded themselves with friends that don't speak truth or love into their life. And that's what it takes to overcome those mental battles. So you say, well, what do I do if that's my case? Well, here's what I'll tell you what to do. Stop. Evaluate your friendships. Evaluate them. Say, is this person actually good for me or is this person bad for me? Does this person tear me down or do they build me up? I mean, the person, I'm going to pick on some people. The person that you're dating, do they just tear you down or do they build you up? I mean, you say, well, it's just kind of cute. I mean, they're just kind of got a little negative attitude and they're sarcastic all the time. Well, guess what? After a while, that gets old. You need somebody in your life that's going to build you up. And maybe you need to evaluate that dating relationship that you're in. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some of you guys, again, you need to evaluate the friendships and you need to maybe separate yourself from certain people that aren't speaking life into your life. You say, what? You mean I'm supposed to, you know, separate myself from this just because this guy's negative and bitter and angry? Yeah, sometimes. Absolutely. But here's what I've learned. Those are the people we're trying to reach, so you can't disassociate yourself forever, and you got to leave the door open so that when they decide, hey, I'm going to start being positive, that they can walk right back through the door and you guys go to, you know, riding for Christ together. Are you with me? Again, so you got to evaluate it, and then you got to say, okay, is this person going to affect me and help me grow in Christ, or are they going to help me, you know, die in my spiritual life? And so evaluate those friendships. Here's what else I would say. I have some negative friends. I have a friend that when I say blue, he says black. When I say those cows look good, he says nah. When I say, you know, I like that horse, no. You know, and it's just he's just a negative human being. And my wife knows who I'm talking about. And it's nobody in this room. So just I'm not looking at anybody. But just negative all the time. And you know what I've learned gets through to this man? Loving the crap out of him. I mean, instead of, you know, because here's what I've learned. I can develop a relationship with him, and I serve him like no other. I'll buy him ice cream. He loves ice cream. I'll buy him ice cream. I'll buy him, you know, a gun. I'll pay for the shells. And, you know, he's a cheapwad, and he complains about I'm giving stuff away. I'll give him bullets. I'll say, use my bullets, you know, or whatever. But again, just negative Nelly all the time. But here, again, if I love him and I serve him, guess what I get to do? He oftentimes opens his heart and I begin to speak truth into his life. And I can help change his negative attitude and help him become a better man. Are you with me? So love the crap out of him. And here's what else I would tell you. If you're around negative people, prepare your mind. Prepare your heart. Don't allow them to make you into a thermometer. You say, what does that mean? Well, when I'm around negative people, I want to be a thermostat. I can change the thermostat over there, and guess what it does? It changes the whole atmosphere of the room. But if I'm a thermometer, guess what? I'm getting changed by the culture that's around me. So I want to be a thermostat, and I want to change his negative attitude. No matter what it takes, I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to build him up. I'm going to tell him he's the best ever, all this stuff, so that he begins to be changed because I'm around, not me being changed because he's around. Are you with me? Those are the people that are maybe friends that you can do something about. You can maybe separate yourself or encourage them. Then you have those permanent relationships like a husband or a wife. Or children that are negative. Can I just challenge you? Here's one word that it will take to change the negativity in those relationships. Work. It takes work. I mean, you can nag, you can complain, you can do all you want, but until you begin to work at it and you begin to say, okay, God, I need your help. I'm going to resist the devil to be negative, resist the devil and not be negative toward them, not tear them down, but I'm going to build them up. And then you begin to have conversations with your husband saying, hey, man, I want us to have a positive relationship. Or you have conversations with your kids and say, hey guys, we're not going to talk negative in this home. We're not going to have drama in this home. We're going to speak positive. We're going to love our brother and our sister. Amen? Amen, babe?
Amen.
That's my daughter, right? I've taught my kids, hey, you don't be generous, you don't say kind things, guess what? You lose. I'm not going to bless you. God's not going to bless you. But when you begin to speak, be generous and say, I love you, when I tell you to tell your brother you love him, and actually hold hands when we pray and all those things, and you begin to, be nice and share the things that you have, guess what? You will win every time. So we're going to change that in those relationships. If they're negative, I'm going to change it. I'm going to do everything I can. Our kids, guess what? They're learning. From us. If you're negative, your kids are going to be negative. Unless God just gets a hold of them, makes them resilient, and they buck and they look at you and they go, I don't want to be like him. I'm going to do everything I can to be positive. Again, you don't want to be that parent. You want them to want to be like you. My son Hank, this is how God works. Hank, he's 9 years old, and we have our children read a devotional every morning. Okay, especially in the summer because they have time, right? So they'll get up and I put on the refrigerator. I got a sign and it has a list of things that, obviously we want them to do. First is they're going to do their chores. Go feed the pigs that you wanted, right? Go feed your pigs. The second thing is you can eat a little breakfast. Go eat, eat some breakfast. The third thing, have a quiet time. You say, what is that? That's time spent in God's word, reading his word and praying. And we've asked our kids at 7, 9, and 11 to begin to read God's word. And guess what? Hank came to me just this week and he said, hey, because I ask him, I say, read the word and then come tell me what you learned. He came to me and he says, Dad, guess what I learned? He said, my closest friends need to be believers. I didn't have to teach him that. He learned it on his own. God used that devotional on his iPod that he can get the Bible app on his iPod and he began to read it. Said, my closest friends need to be believers because they're going to tell me what to do is, that's right, not tell me what to do that is wrong. And I was like, praise God. See, again, you got to have people pouring into them. These relationships, guess what, that are positive, they don't happen by accident. They have to be intentional. You have to work at them. Here's the awesome thing about you being at church. Guess what? You're going to have an opportunity to develop those traveling partners through the church. You say, I don't have anybody to, you know, get to know. There's like 200 people in here that you can get to know. You say, what else? Ranch groups. I mean, we have small groups that are going to meet in the fall, 5:30 to 7:30 on Sunday nights. You're going to get to fellowship with people that are going to hopefully encourage you and build you up. Ranch kids. Your kids need to be up in Ranch Kids, developing relationships with other little believers, other little followers of Jesus, so that they can be encouraged to do what God wants them to do, not what their friends that, again, are going to lead them astray want them to do. Ranch youth. Go to the retreat this week so that you can develop relationships with people that are going to encourage you. So how do we win the mental game? We have traveling partners that encourage us, that build us up, and offer godly counsel to help us win the mental battles. And lastly, this is the last point I want to make today, and I'm done. Number 6, much of life isn't about what happens to us, but more about how we think about what happens to us. This one maybe hits a little heart, maybe hits your heart. Again, much of life isn't about actually what happens to us, but more about how we think about what happens to us. I'll give you an example. I was on the phone with Brent Lewis, the guy in the picture. He's a calf roper, obviously. You need to go back and you can listen to what all of his accomplishments. But he said, you know what, Bo? He said, there was a point in my life where I thought I was had a tragedy. And he said, and he didn't tell me how it happened, but he said, I got my fingers cut off. You know, he's a roper, and so he said, I got my fingers cut off. And when that happened, I thought, my life is over. I mean, I'm a roper, and I'm not going to be able to rope anymore. I'm not going to be able to pay the bills. I'm not going to be able to, you know, again, rope and do all those things. And he said, man, it defeated me. But, listen, he said, but then God showed me something. He said, you know what he showed me? He said, God showed me that I don't rope just to pay the bills. I rope because I love it. And he said, looking back now, getting my fingers cut off was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It helped me refocus on the things that are important, my family, you know, my children, all those things. Because of that tragedy that he turned his mind around and said, oh, it's a tragedy, but I'm going to turn it into triumph. And I'm going to begin to enjoy what God has actually given me that matters. And he began to think about differently about what happened to him, and it changed his life. Again, some of you are here today and you're living in this pit of, oh my, I'm a victim. Oh my, you know, my this, I lost my job, or, you know, oh my, I got this illness, or oh my. And again, all those things are real, all those things are, you know, true. But and can I just, this is free too. God is a God of comfort. Amen. So if you are, yeah, give it up for the Lord, yeah. So if you are going through something that's a tragedy, he's there. Again, you can't wish away certain things in your life. And they have happened to you. But God is a God of comfort. But here's the second part. He wants to turn your tragedy into a triumph. And guess what? Yes. The way that he does that, guess what, is to change the way that you think. Again, if you're still alive, you are going to face trials for the rest of your life. You're going to face tragedy for the rest of your life. And it's how you think about those things that you're either going to find victory or you're going to find defeat. Every time. I'm learning this. You say, well, so how does God want to change the way we think about what happens to us? I'll give you a few examples and I'm done. You ready? God wants us to have a short-term memory. Are you with me? A short-term memory. You know, you again, maybe have experienced, you know, certain tragedy, whatever. Again, there's certain things that obviously we don't want to forget. There's certain good things about what we don't want to forget. But at the same time, I believe that with God on our side, we have the hope in the midst of every situation. And guess what? To win the mental battles in life, we have to forget about some things. I'm just, Brent Lewis, he said this. He said, the best thing you can do in the sport of rodeo is to have a short-term memory. If you make a mistake, you have to leave it in the arena. Are you with me? You got to forget about it. And I believe that the same is true when it comes to our mental games. We have to have a short-term memory. You say, what does that look like? Well, listen to Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament in Philippians chapter 3. He says this, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing." What is it? Let's say it again. I focus on one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Do you see what Paul's saying here? He's saying, I am going to forget the past because it holds me back. And you say, well, what did Paul deal with? Guess what? Paul killed Christians. He was a murderer. You say, my past is pretty colorful. No, I don't know. Maybe we got some murderers in here. There's no telling. Hopefully we do. Amen? That was all weird. But anyway, so you know what I'm saying. Hopefully we've got people that have made mistakes like all of us, you know, sinful people. I'm just going to move on. You know what I mean. But here's the thing. You know, Paul was a murderer. You think he had a past to forget about? Absolutely. He says, hey, guess what? You need to focus on one thing. Forget the past. Move on. Press on to which the things that God has called you to do. Here's another lesson I'm trying to teach my kids. Hank and Hampton, they play baseball on the same team. Hank's the first baseman. And yesterday was in a tournament, all this stuff, and you know, he goes up for, you know, to hit a pop fly, and he misses the pop fly. There's two words that I'm trying to instill in my kids, and really anything in life, but especially in sports. You know what those two words are? Next play. Next play. So when he looks at me, my son, I don't know why he looks at me, but he looks at me when something goes wrong like that. And this is maybe hopefully what he remembers about his dad. Because I want him to know that no matter what mistake you made, I love you, buddy. And I don't care about your mistake. Just worry about the next play. Just worry about the next play. Yeah. Again, you may not realize it or not, but maybe you're living in the past. Maybe you're living in that mistake in your life. And God's telling you, hey, bud, next play. Next play. Listen, we got to forget the past. Are we to learn from the past? Absolutely. I mean, we're to learn from it, but listen, we're to forget about it. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, God forgets about it. I don't know if you realize this, Isaiah 43:25, God's speaking and he says, I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I will what? I will never think of them again. That's God talking. I mean, God says, hey, confess your sin, bring it to me, and then forget about it. And here's what we do. Oftentimes, we'll go to God and say, God, you know, I mean, remember that? And he's like, what are you talking about? I don't remember that. Forget about it. Again, we would do ourselves a favor to do the same thing. And so how do we do it? We got to forget about it. Here's the last thing I want to mention. God wants us to remember who he is and what he's done. You say, yeah, give it up for the Lord. I like it. How do we change the way we think about what happens to us? We have to remember who God is and what he has done for us. Here's the things that maybe you need to remember. Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Again, when you face that mental battle, guess what? You need to remember that God is with you. Remember, He is in control. Look at John 3:16. For God so what? He loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? You say, what am I supposed to remember? You need to remember that you were so valuable to God that He gave His only Son just for you. If you were the only person on the face of the earth, He still would have sent Jesus to die for you. You say, I'm not valuable. I don't have anything to offer. Bull crap. God loves you. And He sent His Son to die for you. So remember that. You say, what else? Well, look at Luke 18:27. Jesus replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Again, you thought, I can't get through this. Bull crap. You can get through it through God's strength. What is possible, what is not possible with man is possible with God. Amen. And so we change the way we think about what happens to us, and we forget the past, and we remember who God is and what He has done. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a few questions. What kind of traveling partners do you have in life? Are you surrounded by people that are going to speak life into you? Or are you just surrounded by people that are negative and bitter and angry? And again, it affects you, tears you down. Maybe you need to examine your own life and say, you know what, is that me? How good of a traveling partner am I? Again, God wants you to encourage one another daily. He wants you to be encouraged daily. He wants you to build others up according to their needs that it may benefit them. He wants you to be benefit from those relationships. And He wants you to receive godly counsel. So how are your traveling partners? Do they help you win the battle or do they help you lose it? Again, maybe you have some friendships that you need to change. Maybe your marriage needs a little work and you need to begin to change the way you think, change how you do things. If you're going to win the mental game, you got to have the right traveling partners. And so you say, well, what do I do now? I mean, how do I make this change, or how do I find them or whatever? Here's what you maybe need to pray in your heart today. You can just pray this right in your chair. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray it in your heart. God, give me the wisdom to know the friends that I need to hang out with. Give me the wisdom to know what friends I need to separate from and what friends I need to become closer to. God, give me godly relationships. Give me the people that I know I can trust because they're going to give me advice straight from the Word of God. And Lord, help me to be that friend as well. Help me to help my friends be able to find victory over the battles that they face when the devil attacks them. Listen, I hope you made that commitment. I hope you prayed that prayer. And be ready. Open your eyes. God, maybe you say, God, give me spiritual eyes to see those people the way you see them. Here's a fact. No matter if you have a heartbeat, as long as you have a heartbeat, you are going to face trials. You're going to face battles. You're going to face, you know, mental battles, physical battles, whatever it is. As long as you're alive, you're going to face those. So the question is, you know, isn't, oh God, take these away. No, they're going to happen. And even more maybe sometimes when you're walking with Christ because you're a threat to your opponent, which is the devil. So here's my prayer. My prayer is that you are finding victory over those trials. You're finding, you know, you're winning those battles because you've been equipped and you understand how to use God's weapons. And so, again, how you think about those things is what really matters. Maybe you need to make this your prayer today. God, change the way I think about what's happened to me. God, change the way that I think about what's happening to me right now. God, fill my mind with truth. Fill my mind with hope. Fill my mind with peace. Fill my mind with strength. Help me to win this battle through your power. Lord, help me to forget the past and help me to remember what you've done for me. Listen, I hope that you prayed that because God wants to answer those prayers. And if you prayed it with your heart and you meant it, guess what? He's going to answer those prayers. You know what? My prayer is that you have been changed through this series and through the preaching of God's word. And if you have questions or, you know, you want more answers or you want my notes from the sermons or whatever, or if you want to, you know, share it with people you know, because everybody faces mental battles. And God has the power and the strength and the weapons to win those battles. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to live life for you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to share truth with people today. And I pray, Lord, that as we walk out of this place, that it would not just be another feel-good sermon or, you know, hey, we made it through church. No, that our lives would be changed. That you would change the way that we think so that we can find victory in this life. Lord, help us to resist the devil and to win the battles over our mind. Thank you for how you give us victory when we turn to you and we trust in you. Lord, we praise you. We praise you. In your holy name I pray. Amen.